I do want to just think about something this morning as I'm singing here, and we've enjoyed such cool weather over the weekend, and I was thinking back to 4 years ago. Some of you guys might have been here that morning. That was my first Sunday here as your pastor on Mother's Day, and if you remember, our air conditioning wasn't working, and we ended up cutting out pretty quick. It was not much longer than where we were at now. We were headed out to go enjoy Mother's Day because we were all sweating and fanning each other. And some of you guys were probably thinking we should have known then about him coming to serve as our pastor. But it's been a great 4 years and such a blessing. And I'm glad to have had the opportunity here this last 4 years to serve you, and looking forward to many more in the future. But Mother's Day, before I get talking too much about that, obviously happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. We are excited to celebrate with you. And I want to get something clear, something I probably need to address before getting too far into the sermon. If you were here on Easter, I said a few things I want to clarify this morning. I made a comment as we were talking about how important Easter was. I said something to the fact that really Mother's Day was a made-up holiday and it was inferior to Easter. And I want to go on record to say that that is true. I still stand by what I said. But that does not mean that I think mothers are not important, that they're not worthy of this day that we take and set aside to honor you. Our mothers are so, so very important and so worthy of a day for us to stop and to recognize that. This church, real plain and simple, would not exist without you mothers. None of us actually would exist without you, and so you are very important. And but more than just giving birth to us, you have raised us. Many of you saw fit to make sure that your children were in church, that we heard the gospel, and we are forever thankful to you, mothers. And we want to say thank you for that. My mother, who perhaps is listening this morning, and I want to say happy Mother's Day to her. But please don't think that your pastor doesn't believe in Mother's Day, or that we as a church body don't believe in Mother's Day, because we are very happy to be here today with you celebrating. Today is actually the end of our series we started several weeks ago on faith. And last week, we had a heavy emphasis on sharing our faith, both the clear verbal communication to other people of what we believe, as well as sharing by the way we live, by not just blending in with the culture, but by actually living out our faith so that other people around us can see the difference that faith makes in our life. Because one of the things we've said throughout this series is our faith should make a difference in our lives. It's not just enough to believe in Jesus. We know that the demons believed in Jesus, but we know that they did not have saving faith in Jesus Christ. Go ahead, if you would, and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's where we're going to start off today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I know Mother's Day can be filled with all sorts of emotions. Some of you are here celebrating with your mother and celebrating Mother's Day, and I think that's awesome. What a blessing that is to be here with them. Others, perhaps your mother lives in another place, and for whatever reason, you're not able to be with them physically today and get a chance maybe to contact them or to call them and share with them how much you appreciate them. But there are others who Mother's Day is a bit of a bittersweet day. Because we are not able to be with our moms because they have passed on. And so it can bring up a number of emotions today. And today's message is not a Mother's Day sermon, per se. We're going to talk about faith. And while faith should impact the way mothers interact with their children and should impact how children interact with their mother, that's not really going to be our main focus. As we bring the series of faith to an end, I want us to consider the fact that faith should impact not only how we live, but how we die. That faith should impact how we view life, and faith should impact how we view death. I don't want this to be a huge downer of a service. It's not my intention or my desire to bring us to tears this morning, because to be honest, our faith should be the thing that is our biggest source of joy. It should be our biggest source of strength. No matter what we're going through, whether it's a period of time of mourning or loss, or whether it's just a time of struggle or going through some stressful things in life, our faith should be a source of joy and peace and hope. And so let's get started this morning. Turn with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 6 and see what Paul has for us here in this passage. He says here, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 6, "So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." Paul is right in the middle of this second letter to the Corinthians, and he's talking about his ministry and preaching the gospel. And there's this theme emerging through the first several chapters about life and death. And here in chapter 5, he talks about how we as believers, we have a little different situation that we are in as opposed to the lost and those who do not have faith in Jesus Christ. He begins there in verse 6 and says, "We are always of good courage." Always of good courage. That while we are home in this body, we are away from the Lord. Right? While we are home here in this earth, in this body that we live, we are away from, we are apart from the Lord. Now, it wasn't always this way. There was a time, not that long before Paul wrote this letter to the church in Corinth, that Jesus was here, that he was walking and talking here on this earth, that he was living among those, many of those who were reading this and had experienced what had gone on there in Jerusalem during Jesus' ministry. But after his death, after the resurrection of Christ, he returned to heaven. He was no longer there physically. Paul says, we are away from the Lord. But he says, we walk by or live by faith and not by sight. The phrase there, walking by faith or living by faith, depending on your translation, that's what I want us to focus on today. That phrase, to walk by faith, to live by faith. What does that mean? What does that look like? And how does that change the way we view life and how we view death? Those are the questions that I want to try to answer. So first, what does it mean to live by or to walk by faith? Well, we know how to live or how to walk. That isn't the hard part. That's one of the first things we learn as a child, right? Our whole lives, we have lived and walked by sight. That is, assuming that we're not born blind, of course. But we look at what's around us. We move our body to accomplish whatever it is we're trying to accomplish, to go wherever we try to go. And so we take a look at what's in front of us, and we try to navigate our way through it. If it's an obstacle or something we should avoid, we try to avoid it. If it's something we are desire, if it's something we're going towards, we try to move towards that thing. That's how we walk. That's how we live. And we learn to do that as a very young child. And we still live life like that today. In life, we look around, we see what's going on around us, and we make decisions and choices to do what we want to do, to accomplish what we want to accomplish. When we see obstacles in life, we try our best to avoid them. We're really like a bunch of toddlers just walking around. That pretty much sums up our life. And when we fall, we either cry or get mad. Somebody comes along, they help pick us up, or perhaps we pull ourselves up, and what do? We keep on going. We keep on walking. You moms know exactly what I'm talking about. You remember your children learning to walk, just waiting for them to take those first steps. And some of y'all have a memory in your mind of your child taking their first steps and what a big moment that was. And then you probably remember, not too much later, you're thinking, oh my gosh, I wish they didn't know how to walk, because now they're into everything, right? They're just going around getting into stuff. They're mobile, they're more independent. And then they grow up to be teenagers, and they still just go around getting into everything, don't they? But we learned how to walk. We learned how to live, to base our life and our decisions and how we go about living based on what we see. Trying to avoid obstacles, going after or pursuing the things that we desire, the things we want. But you and I, we live our life, we walk through life looking at the world around us and responding in a way that keeps us safe, that gets us to where we want to go. We live by and walk by sight. But to walk by faith, to live by faith, what does that mean? Faith in what? Faith in whom? Well, I think Paul answers that when he goes on to say, we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. That we would rather be in heaven than here in this body. My question to that immediately as I was reading that is that true? Is that true for me? Is that true for us as we gather here this morning? Would we rather be with the Lord home than here in this body? Paul seems to think that we should prefer to be in heaven right now. But either way, he says, we live to please him. If we were there with him, we'd be living to please him. So now that we are away from him and we are still here, guess what? We live to please him. So one way or another, we live by faith, we walk by faith, whether here, whether in heaven, we do it to please him in all that we do. What does that mean? Well, it means we obey him. It means we do not sin. That's our goal. That's our aim. It's what we try to do. So as we walk, we don't just tread our own path, right? But we've been asked to follow him, to follow in his steps. And we should do our best to do that, to follow him, to please him here in this life. And why do we try to please him? Well, Paul tells us right there in verse 10, the reason we try to please him is because judgment is coming. That there is an end. That whether good or bad, whatever we've done here in this body, we will get what we deserve. Now, some of us don't believe that. At least we don't live like we believe that. But if we are walking by faith, living by faith, we live and we walk like we will be judged, like there's a judgment coming. Too often we think we have to shut our eyes and ignore what we see in order to walk by faith. But God's word doesn't tell us to blind ourselves. That's not what he's saying, as if living by sight and living by faith are direct opposites, like they're in contrast with one another. Rather, it tells us to respond to the things that we see differently than the rest of the world. That we're not only walking by sight, we are also now walking by faith. That's what I mean by that. When we see temptation, we as believers are to flee from temptation. The rest of the world, they run towards it. We must run from it. The rest of the world, as they walk through life, they will see those who are suffering. They will see those that are broken. And they will seek to avoid. They will turn a blind eye. Whereas Jesus has asked us to minister to the poor, to minister to the hungry, to minister to those who are broken. We don't just close our eyes and ignore what we see, but rather living and walking by faith leads us to respond differently, to react differently to the things that we do see. Things the world sees as uncomfortable, things the world sees as pitfalls, the things the world chooses to avoid, we embrace and move toward it. Things that the world sees as a delight or a desire worth pursuing, we recognize those things as dangerous and we avoid it. Why? Why do we do all this? Because Paul reminds us, this is not our home. In verse 1 of that chapter, we didn't read that, but if you go up there, he talks about this body. He calls it a tent, okay? And while I like camping as much as the next person, and it's kind of a fun, enjoyable experience, at least for a little while, and depending on weather and mosquitoes and all those things, but I enjoy a tent, but if it was, do you want to live in a tent or do you want to live in a house? I'm choosing the house every time. Why? Because a tent is temporary, right? It's not a place of permanent dwelling. Our house, our place of permanent residence is not here in this world. It's in heaven. It's with the Lord Jesus Christ. And living in this life by faith, walking by faith here in this world, it requires us to live like this body that we are in is temporary, that it won't last forever. It requires us to live like we will be held accountable for the temporary life that we are living. Often we think as Christians that we get a free pass, that there will be no judgment for us, that Jesus Christ is taking care of all judgment. There's no consequences to our sin. And while that's true, that our consequence will not be hell, our consequence will not be eternal death, Jesus has taken that away. Paul tells us something different here. He's talking to believers. He's not talking to the lost here in this passage. And he says judgment is coming, that we all might get what we deserve, whether good or bad. Don't live your life like you are not going to be held accountable to it as a believer in Jesus Christ. It's quite the opposite. We must live our life like we know that this is only temporary, that this really doesn't matter a whole lot in the long run. How we live our life is important, and we will be held accountable. Judgment will come. The faith we have, that we walk by, that we live by, is the faith in God. A faith in our eternity in heaven. A faith that judgment is coming. And that faith causes us, or should cause us, to live differently than those who do not have faith. To walk differently. Those who only have faith in what they can see, those who only believe and have faith in this world, all of their hope and their faith is in this life. And if that's true, then their life should look different than ours. Because our hope and our faith and everything we stand on as believers in Jesus Christ is not here in this world. It's not something that can be seen. It's faith and belief in what is unseen. And that should change the way we view life. But it should always also change how we view death. It should not only impact how we live, it should impact how we die. Turn to 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. I think he's going to help us think through this as well. So turn over to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3. He says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again, to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, you rejoice. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Peter says, we are born again, that we possess saving faith in Jesus Christ, that God causes us to be born again. That's how he describes it. Now, if there's any place in Scripture that clearly describes that our lives should be different, this is it, right? I mean, if you were born again, that would be a different life. That would be different than you were before. Peter says we have been born again, obviously not physically, right? I mean, moms, as much as you enjoyed the whole pregnancy and delivery and giving birth to your child, I don't know if any of you here would sign up to want to do that again, right? It was bad enough the first time going through all that. This is not what we're talking about, being born again. It's something else. It's not physical, right? Something spiritual. But just like toddlers learn to walk, we learn to navigate this life we're born into. When we are born again, we must learn to walk again. We must learn how to navigate this life, to navigate this world in a different way. But this time, we don't just go by what we see. We must also go by what we don't see. We also use our faith to help us make decisions, to figure out where to go. And this life we were born into is a different life. It's now a life of hope. But hope not in this world, hope not in what we can see, but hope in eternity. Peter says our hope comes from an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, that it's guarded by God's power to be revealed at the last time. That's the end of the world, the second coming, which is important to remember that this world will come to an end. We have to remember that. If you put your hope and faith in this world, you are going to be disappointed. You will be let down. But our hope comes from our salvation. Our hope comes from our destination for all eternity, our permanent home in heaven with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peter says, knowing this and believing in this, this hope of salvation, that it causes us to rejoice. Even if we've been grieved by trials, even if our faith has been tested, because our trials and tests prove that our faith is genuine. And genuine faith is more valuable than gold. Gold that's been tested with fire. So what is the result of genuine faith? Praise and glory and honor as Jesus is revealed. And finally, Peter tells us what walking by faith or living by faith looks like. He says, even though we have never seen him, we love him. Even though we don't see him, we believe in him. We have faith in him. And he says, we rejoice with joy that's inexpressible. Now, how do we express inexpressible joy? I don't know, but I think that's what we call worship. I think that's what we are trying to do as we worship the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we sing songs or as we praise him in some other way, that we are trying to somehow communicate to him the joy that we have, even though it's inexpressible. That's what we do. That's how we bring glory and honor to him. But what does Peter say is the outcome of all of this? The hope, the trials, the faith, the expression of that which is inexpressible. What's the end result of all of it? The salvation of our souls. That is what faith is about. Our salvation. And when we live by faith, when we walk by faith, We live like we are saved. We navigate this life like we are saved. Saved people should be different than those who are not saved. Amen? Sure, we won't be perfect, but there's a distinction, a difference in how we live, and a difference in how we die. It isn't very often that pastors talk about death, unless it's at a funeral service, something that perhaps we avoid. But one of the biggest differences in the lives of believers is the way we think about death and dying. The world does anything they can to avoid death. They fear it. They don't want this life to end. And while I'm not saying you should look forward to death, I'm not saying you shouldn't try to avoid it as best you can, to live a healthy life, to make smart decisions with your life, I am saying that you should never fear death. Death is something we will all face. Unless Christ comes back during our lifetime, we are all going to face it. This tent that we are living in, temporarily, it will not last forever. Thank the Lord, right? In fact, if we want to go to heaven, and remember, Paul says that we should desire to want to go to heaven, that we should desire to be at home in heaven. We should prefer to be with Jesus. If we want to go there, the truth is we cannot stay here. As believers in Jesus Christ, if we have saving faith, then not only do we walk by faith and live by faith, but we also die in faith, knowing that this life isn't the end, that we are only here for a very short time. We are on a short business trip, and there's a lot of work to be done while we're here, a lot of things to accomplish. God has asked us to please Him, to obey Him, to follow Him, to share our faith, to love others, to live this life like we are saved, like the faith we have has made a difference. He's asked us to be different, to not be camouflaged and blend in and look like the world. He has caused us to stand out, to be different. I know this may not be the typical Mother's Day sermon, but I can't think of a message more pertinent for us to hear today. It's a message that I think your mother would want you to hear. Our faith, if it is proven genuine, it will make us different. We will live by faith. We will walk by faith, not only by what we can see, but we trust this life that we are living, we trust it to the one who is unseen. And that takes faith. But it's faith in the one that we can believe in. Faith in the one who has given us new life, who's caused us to be reborn, and now prepares an eternal resting place for us that is not a tent, but a mansion for us in heaven, our permanent place of residence. Will you consider your life, the way you live, the way you make decisions, the way you walk? Will you ask yourself, am I living by faith? Am I living by the things that I can't see? Or am I simply living and operating and walking this world simply by what I can touch and feel and know? Ask yourselves, do you walk by faith? And if not, will you respond appropriately? Will you repent? Will you put your trust and your faith in Jesus Christ enough to allow Him to change your life in the way you live here? Live your life in faith. walk in a way to please our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because we know this life doesn't last forever. We have an eternity in heaven, but we also know that there's judgment waiting for us. So consider these things as you walk, that you might follow Christ, that you wouldn't be a toddler that's just trying to chart his own path. Follow Jesus. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. God, thank you for this series as we've gone through and looked at faith. God, I pray that the faith we have, the faith that we've been given, and God, we would use it, that we would walk by it, we would trust it, and that God, ultimately, it would make a difference in how we live. God, I pray that our faith wouldn't be something that we just say we believe in, but it would be proven out, it would be tested and be genuine by the way we live, that others would look at our life and would know that we have saving faith. God, help us. Father, it's hard to believe in the things that we don't see sometimes. As we look at this world and we look at all the things around it and all the obstacles and the things that are there to trip us up, an enemy that's constantly trying to devour us, Father, sometimes it can be hard to walk this life. Father, help us. Help us to put our faith in what is unseen, knowing that this walk through life has an ending point, has a destination, our eternal home. God, help us. Move us, Father. If we've wandered astray, if we've gotten off the path, Father, that you would bring us back. God, some of us may be so down right now in what we're experiencing in this life that we have simply fallen. Help us, Father. Lift us up. Get us on our feet again, that we might live this life the way you've called us to live. God, we love you. It's in your name we pray. It's time for our invitation, our time of response. We just ask that you would respond however the Lord is leading you today. Whatever this message, whatever God might have spoken through it to you individually with whatever you're going on and whatever's going on in your life, whatever you're going through right now, you just take a moment to intentionally respond whatever the Lord has for you. For some of you, maybe today is a day of salvation. Maybe today is a day for you to have saving faith in who he is. You've tried living your life on your own. You've stumbled, you've fallen, you've gotten off a path, you're lost, you don't know where you're going. Oh, but your Father so loves you and desires to forgive you, to fix this relationship problem you have through the gift of his Son Jesus dying for you, that believing in that, having faith in that changes everything. If you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ this morning, you've never made that decision, I ask you to come down front. I'd love to share with you more about how you can do that. For some of you, maybe you want to join our church. This is also a time to do that, to make that decision. Others, maybe you need to spend time in prayer. Others, maybe you need to spend time in worship, trying to express inexpressible joy that we have through our faith in Jesus Christ. However you need to respond, I just pray that you respond. Let's stand together as Daniel leads us in singing. And if you need me, if you need prayer, if you need anything from me, I'm down here for you.